Very excited to get into Habakkuk. So if you don't mind, we would love to begin with prayer. So please join me in prayer. Good morning, Father. Thank you for this day. Thank you for life. Thank you for breath. Thank you that we have the freedom to gather here today, this morning, and be in the Word of God with our sisters. Lord, thank you that you have given us your Word, that you speak to us through your Word, that you have given us your Word to guide us, to show us your ways, to show us who you are, and also to reveal really who we are too. Father, I just thank you that we have the leaders that are needed. I thank you that the women have so eagerly signed up and made this Tuesday a new thing in their year. So Father, we do pray for your blessing upon this morning. Lord, we thank you this past week for the launch of our Spanish-speaking worship service. We thank you for the joy in that. We pray that you will bring many Spanish speakers on those days that we are able to have that service each month. And I do pray, Lord, that your word would go out to this community. And we thank you for the beauty of this room that has now been redone to accommodate that service. Father, I thank you that you give us the opportunity to share you, to share Jesus with our neighbors, with our friends, with our coworkers, with our family. And many of those opportunities have resulted in them being here even this morning. So, Father, continue to encourage us to share you with those people that are in our community, that are in our circles. Father, I thank you, too, for this Bible study. And I pray as we launch the women's study and tomorrow launch the men's study, I do pray, Father, that you would bless these groups of men and women, that you would provide the needed leadership, you would provide the spaces, that you would enable the men and women to free their schedules at their Bible study times. Father, I do pray, too, for our children's ministry as it's launching for the fall and has begun. Lord, we just continue to ask your blessing over the children, over the leaders, over the parents. Lord, may you begin to plant these great seeds of faith within these young children. May the leaders and parents love their children, guide their children, and bring them to worship. Father, we just thank you for all that goes on with Sarah and Carrie as they prepare each week for CE. And Father, we just pray now that you would also bless our church, bless our study of John's gospel in these coming weeks. I pray that, again, your word would go out in power, that you would use your word to speak to us and to change us and to grow us. So Father, we ask all of these things in your name, and we ask for safety as we move about this building. It is in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Okay, well, again, I do say good morning, and I'm so happy that you're here. This is such an exciting to see this room filled, to filled with your beautiful faces. And as I said in our prayer time, this is a newly renovated space. If you have spent time in this space before, you know just having a sound system that enables us to hear so much better is such a blessing. And so I just am so grateful for all the hands that it took to create this space down here and make this so much more practical and so much more enjoyable for us each week. So as I said, and why I gave you the bookmarks is that we're going to do Habakkuk. And one of the things I'll say right off the bat is no one really even knows how to pronounce his name absolutely correctly. So you'll have some freedom to pretty much determine that for yourself. And you might even hear me say it in a couple different ways too, as I try to say a name that is probably familiar to none of us. But first of all, I wanted to begin, and I just want to give you just a little bit of background this week, and then as we go through the lessons in the coming weeks, you're going to hear much more details about the individual passages that we'll be looking at. But the book of Habakkuk, let's just talk about who he is and what it is and what he's trying to say in his book. So first of all, it's a very small book. If you have opened up to Habakkuk, you're going to see that it's only 3 chapters long, very small. And it is right near the end of the Old Testament, comes right after Nahum, another one that probably doesn't help you place it. But it's important for us to remember that in the Old Testament, the books are not arranged in chronological order. So just because this book is found towards the end of the Old Testament does not necessarily place it in the context of time and history as being at the end. So that's one thing that helps us when we look at these books in the Old Testament. So let's talk a little bit about who he was. Now, we would refer to Habakkuk as a minor prophet. And when you call him a minor prophet, it does not mean that he's of less importance as much as it means his book is very small. So when we look at prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah, who have much more extensive and lengthy books, we call them the major prophets. So that helps us to realize that these small books are still mighty and important. We call them a prophet. Now, a prophet has been defined as someone who utters divinely inspired revelations, a revealer of God's will, and often foretells the future. And so we're going to see a lot of that as we read Habakkuk, and that's helpful for us to keep in mind. Some think that he may have been a Levitical choirster in the temple, or perhaps helped arrange services in the temple, and they gather that from Habakkuk 3, the very last probably sentence in the book. But again, we're not entirely sure. Some also think he was a contemporary of Jeremiah at home and of Daniel, who would have been in Babylon at that time. So that helps us kind of place him too, again, in the context of history. Now, to know when this took place, and you have a timeline in your book. You have a lot of helpful things in the introduction, just if you haven't had a chance to peek at that. But James Montgomery Boyce has said that it must have occurred in about somewhere in this 25-year period between the fall of Nineveh to the Babylonians as they were being raised up and becoming the next superpower. And that would have been about 612 BC. And this was prophesied by the prophet that had come before Habakkuk, Nahum. He had spoken to this. But then it came before the fall of Jerusalem, which happened in 587 BC. So there's that frame of time that most likely this book was written. If we remember at this time, the Assyrians had been the superpower of this area for a time, and they were a ruthless, horrible people that brought incredible destruction to this area. They conquered many of these places. And in fact, we know that the Assyrians were the ones that conquered the 10 northern tribes of Israel. It was the Assyrians that had taken them into captivity to Babylon. And so what had remained in the land of Israel was the southern kingdom, which we often refer to as Judah, which was made up of the other two remaining tribes of Israel. Now, Habakkuk is going to be talking about this new superpower that is being raised up, and he is referring to the Babylonians, and they can also be called the Chaldeans. It's the same group of people. But this is the next superpower that is now going to be raised up and powerful in that area. And you'll see that when we get into the first part of Habakkuk 1 in verse 6. So at this time of writing, the northern kingdom is gone. They are been taken into captivity, and he is directing this really to the tribes of Judah. Now, there is a little more background that I think that is helpful on the tribe of Judah. And so when you get into your lesson next week, one of the passages that you're going to be reading is in 2 Kings 23. And this is going to help you give a little bit of a background into what it was like in Judah and at the time that Habakkuk would be writing this. Now, if you remember back years and years ago, Israel wanted a king, right? And they were given a king in Saul. And then came the next king, probably the most famous king, King David. And then since then, there had been kings throughout the history of Israel. Most of them were not good kings. Some were so-so, and there was a few good kings that were sprinkled in this timeline. Now, if we're looking just at the tribe of Judah, we can start back with the king Manasseh. And that's in 2 Kings 21. You can find out more about his story, but he was an awful, evil king. And he had been king, and then he had a son, and who was another really bad king. And then we come to Josiah, King Josiah. And King Josiah was a good king. And King Josiah had brought great reform to the tribe of Judah. In fact, he had become king when he was only 8 years old. But during his reign, there was a high priest who found a book in the temple, and it was the book of the law. And this had not been read. This had definitely not been followed for years and years and years. But when it was brought to the king's attention, King Josiah began to make great reforms and to cast out all of the pagan worship and the things that had been done that were corrupting this nation. So it is thought that Habakkuk was probably a young boy when King Josiah was making all of these reforms and bringing back things like celebrating the Passover that hadn't been done. In 2 Kings 22, we read that he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and walked in the way of David. But as things often go, when King Josiah died, his son became king after him, and he returned back to the ways of the evil kings. And so these changes had really only come from the top down. And so now we had the tribe of Judah beginning to go back to these pagan practices and bringing back this pagan worship. So very quickly after this time where they had wanted to walk with the Lord. His own son, King Josiah, was described as doing what was evil in the sight of the Lord according to all his fathers had done. So when we see Habakkuk crying out, he is not crying out to pagan people around him needing judgment. He's looking at his own people. He is looking at the tribe of Judah saying, judgment is coming to my own people. And judgment was needed, wasn't it? But that's a hard, hard thing to speak to. The people of Judah were far from living as the way God wanted them to live. And they were not living in the truth of his word. In fact, in Jeremiah and Ezekiel, we can see this time described until Jerusalem finally falls in 587. So if you know a bit about this background, it does help you to see why Habakkuk is asking the questions that he asks and what he is seeing in his context of time and history. And then we're going to see in Habakkuk the difficult answer that God brings to him. It is always important for us to remember to go back to what is going on in the time of the story. We need to always keep in our mind that the Bible is one story from the beginning in Genesis through Revelation. And so I think sometimes we can be tempted as readers now to think that the Bible is primarily about us. But spoiler alert, it really isn't. Yes, it speaks to us, but the Bible is God's story from beginning to end and how he works it in the world. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones says it this way: ultimately, the main message is that the Bible concerns the condition of the entire world and its destiny. You and I as individuals are a part of that larger whole. That is why it starts with the creation of the world rather than of men. It outs every problem in the context of this worldview. And this is something we'll just need to remind ourselves as we move through this book, that the whole Bible is concerned with the world and its destiny. Sometimes, especially when we're in the Old Testament, especially, we can think it's simply a collection of stories and history. And we can think that it's great to know, it's especially fun if you like history, but what does it really do for me now? How does it apply to me? And that is a hard thing in the Old Testament. But that's simply not true, really. The Bible is this unfolding story, and we are a part of that story. And we can see ourselves as in that part, in our part of the story. Now, the author is going to help us to see several themes as we go through this. We're going to see the theme of God's wrath, his justice, and yet his mercy. What it is to wait on God and then seeing that God is faithful to deliver his people. I will encourage you, well, I don't know if this is the right word, encourage, but this is a hard book. And you're all in the same place. I would venture, if I asked you to raise your hand, that very few of you have ever sat down and studied the Word of Habakkuk, right? Maybe you've read it in your read through the Bible plans, but you probably have not studied it. So we're all on an even playing field here. We are all going to move into this book and look at it maybe for the first time. And I think that's exciting. It is going to raise some challenging questions, though, I think, for each one of us. And they're going to be very similar in many ways to the questions that Habakkuk had. Oftentimes, our questions are simply, why, Lord? Why? Sometimes our question is, how long, Lord? How long will this go on? Sometimes it's just, how, Lord? How do I walk in this? How do I live through this? So those kind of questions are hard, and we also wrestle with the question of simply, how do we hold fast to the Lord and to the truth of how God is? You know, a friend of mine just randomly in a conversation a few weeks shared this with me, and I was telling her that we were getting ready to study this book, and she said, right off the bat, she goes, oh, I think it's like when you're praying. And she goes, you can lift two hands up. And she said, in one hand, you can look at the attributes of God and you can say, he is perfect. He is holy and righteous. He is just and true and sovereign. He is all-knowing and he is all-powerful. And then on the other hand, you can say, he is also merciful and he is compassionate. He is forgiving. He is loving and he is faithful. And yet sometimes we don't know how to put those things together in perfection, because the truth is only God can do that. And she says, and then as our hands are raised, we get up from praying and right away we are anxious and we're depressed and we're fearful and we don't know how to fit that in to what we just said we believe to be true about God. And so that is the wrestling that each of us will be doing this year as we look at this book too. Because that is what Habakkuk was. He was looking around him and he says, how can you be both these things, God? How can you do this? How can you bring judgment and still be loving and compassionate and merciful? So know that those wrestlings and those questions are normal and they're a part of who we are as humans. And so we're going to walk through that together. Can we have patience? Can we have trust when we're waiting? Can we live with answers that don't come when we want them or in the way that we want them? I'm excited for every one of you to be here this morning, and I thank God for your desire to be in the Word of God and to know him in truth. I thank you that he is created. I thank you for being here and being in the company of your sisters. You will be an encouragement to each other. You will help each other walk through these things together in community, and that is an incredible blessing. So please leave this space this morning knowing that you are prayed for, that you are loved, and that we want each one of you here, and we thank you for your presence this morning. So now you're going to have an opportunity, and you're going to get to go into your small groups, and you're going to begin to get to know each other, and you're going to get to find out a little bit more of how we do things here in Bible study. So welcome, and have a beautiful, blessed morning together. Let me pray. Father, bless us as we go into our groups, Lord. May we be filled with the excitement of starting a new year. Lord, would connections be made? May we love, care, and enjoy each other this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.